How can you have confidence in your first aider when all they have is a certificate to say that no one ever failed, when you have no information about their skills, and when, according to the Resuscitation Council, 70% of CPR done in the UK is delivered below standard and inadequate? In an emergency, survival and recovery depend on the help you get before paramedics arrive. Wouldn't you rather have first aiders at work who can really save lives? Life Aiders can. Go to lifeaidtraining.co.uk for details.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Of course, Kaylee, you've been down to Lincoln a couple of times and are visitors there, but you've yet to accompany us on a Southside location report.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody who's actually really just doing a whole plethora of reports and is looking to pack in a whole heap of shows across the county of North Yorkshire over the weekend is, of course, the legend that is Minty Steed. How are you, Minty?
All right, thank you, Alex.
Good, okay.
And I'm accompanied by Buster one side of me, Mitch the other, and five puppies bounding about like potential Olympic champions.
Five puppies. That's wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Buster and Mitzi. Brilliant. What and where are you, and what will you be doing over the bank holiday weekend?
Well, bank holiday has an old plethora of events, left, right and centre. There's Wensleydale, there's Farndale, of course, in the Daffodil Valley. There's Nicklishaw near Lipham, which has their own dog derby, along with lots of gymkhana events and fancy dress or horseback for children. We've got all manner of things going on there. There's Malham, there's Everydale, and every event is going on left, right, centre. We will be concentrating tomorrow on the Driffield Game Fair. We attended the very first Driffield Game Fair last year, and it's coming on in leaps and bounds now, and they have another 154 trade stands to add on so this year, so it's improving, and give it another year or two, and I think it'll have a very firm place in the game fair calendar, you know, in a year or two.
So this
will make a very good place.
This kind of infrastructure certainly seems to fit in very well with Sarah Gayton's view of getting farmers on film and her campaign to develop this cheese competition, which takes place, obviously, on the 3rd of December, the same day as United Nations Disability Day, which is interesting in its own way. From your perspective, we were just talking with Sarah Minty about how new technology is being used, and with mobile phones now having QR codes, or at least to be able to scan QR codes, the versions of WAP and ZAP being used to work out find out information. You know, from your experience with respect to the county shows and indeed the smaller scale ones, not necessarily the large county shows, but there's a sufficient marketplace for new technology to fit in with the goodness of obviously countryside and rural activities.
Yes, there is, as long as you can get a signal. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Without a signal, you're stuck.
It's hopeless.
But they are developing ways now of sort of bouncing a signal off another signal to another signal. So eventually, one way or another, you know, you can then start getting more and more broadband. And I think it's essential, because the more you're out of broadband area, the more you need ways of connecting to people, because naturally the more isolated or the more out of the usual flow of things that you're placed. You know, otherwise you'd be in a town or city, you'd have a signal. So definitely it's needed, and I hope eventually they really do cover the whole of the country. We know one chap who travels more than a mile in a JCB, and then he goes up a bank in a JCB and sits in that to pick up a signal. You know, so I mean, things will improve, I'm sure, and when they do, it will be a blessing.
We get fully connected. In case you're wondering, Kaylee, clearly Minty had her two telecommunications advisors there, Buster and Mitzi, agreeing with that particular concept. So it's very good. I know many people, including various telecommunications companies, probably wouldn't think to actually go to canines to sort out their difficulties. But all I have to say is, think of HMV. Why did they actually have a little doggy there with that listening to the whole thing?
No.
Exactly. Because he understood. He knew the technology. If you want to sort the thing through, get in a terrier. I've said this at Siren time and time again. You know, we have challenges with telephones, etc. Bring in the canines, they'll sort it out.
Yes,
Anyway.
You'll be fine. Bring in the canines and you'll be fine, Alex. You'll be the best program you'll have ever had. Definitely.
Any questions from yourself, Kayleigh, about the shows and so on? Because, as I say, that's something which hopefully, maybe in the next near future, you will be joining us on all these events.
I hope so, yeah.
No questions whatsoever.
No, it's
okay. So we will be competing. Will the team, will the Terrier team from Southside be involved with these?
Yes, we will be competing. On Saturday, they have all manner of extra events over and above the ones they had last year. And that's Buster making his comment because one of the puppies has come up and the puppy's larger than he is. And there's including odd couple class. And so we've certainly got one or two odd couples, very large and very small, that are friends with each other. So, 1 minute. Go!
Could be getting a little bit off over the excitement there.
Thanks for joining in.
Please, yeah. Do we have names for the five puppies as yet?
The puppies, yes. Cinder, yes. For one, because the father of my Toffee, so Cinder Toffee.
Nice.
Michelle for another.
Yeah.
Torres for another.
Yeah.
Umbossy for another. And we've got one left. And then the last one is Winston, for Winston Churchill.
Because does he look like Winston? Yeah, exactly. Winston.
The various other names come from the use of Yiddish and also the use of Swahili and Shona.
I think if you're going to name your puppies Yiddish and Swahili, it's clearly languages you need to explore.
Shona.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Either that or famous British prime ministers. Maybe John.
Well, yes. It did come to a few problems over the fact of when they had the chip put in and the certificate. That the poor girl who had to write out the certificates was a little nondeplussed at the names. How to spell them.
Well, and have they all been microchipped?
Yes.
You know what you say? It's always sorting those things through. You've done this so well, Kayleigh. I think there's no reason why you can't keep using those last two questions. So away you go, please, from Minty Steed. Thank you.
Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us here at Southside today?
Most certainly, and of course, we've had the further addition of Tessa and all of those joining in.
And are you going to join us again in the near future?
Certainly, as always.
There we are, I say. Probably, actually, 8 a.m. Thursday morning, if you were to get online and actually listen to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, sirenonline.co.uk. You can find the connections through southsidebroadcasting.com. Because, of course, we're at the James Cook University Hospital as the official free radio service for Hospedia Channel 1.
Yes.
Of course, the reason they're walking, as opposed to riding, is they haven't made use of the yellow mobile conveyance lounge that's handled so expertly, sweetly, efficiently, and generally wondrously by our main New York correspondent. I'll say that again, our main New York correspondent. That would be whom, Kayleigh Carr? No, it wouldn't be Minty. It would be Peter Franklin.
Okay.
Yes. Who, of course, Franklin Mint. I see the connection there. There is a routine.
This is a connection.
No, exactly. Well, the introduction didn't quite work as planned in rehearsal, Peter, but welcome to the show in any case.
Well, welcome to New York myself. Hello.
Excellent. Fantastic stuff. It seems like months since we've last spoken, but that's partly because you've been far too busy and too popular in the whole thing. So yes, that's the whole setup. Here we are now. And what's the weather like in New York? As I believe it's coming up to, is it noon? Coming up high noon now in New York City?
Yeah, it is. And it's very, very warm and very, very muggy, but it's a beautiful day. And of course, everybody's in a good mood, because when the weather's nice, everybody is in a good mood. You can hardly walk on the sidewalks. We are packed. Do you know that we get 65 million visitors from your side of the pond every year? So if you want to think of a crowded place, boy, is this place crowded.
But if everybody paid $1, you'd be able to get two Manhattan apartments at least.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, Manhattan's the most expensive place in the country. The second most expensive place is one of our other boroughs, which is Brooklyn. But, you know, if you were going to complain to me that they're expensive, my response to you would be, well, why do you live there? But, you know, big shot, you know, go live in neighborhoods with regular people. But they are the two most expensive places. It means if you wanted to have a one-bedroom apartment, it would cost you about, well, on the average, by the way, probably about $3,500 a month.
Well, yeah, we'll obviously have to negotiate. That's important. Before we move into some of the other fabulous tales from New York City that you always bring to us, Peter, we did say we'd pass on from Sarah Gayton, who is based in Staffordshire, the news that on the 3rd of December, the United Nations are having a special Disability Day, and she was very excited when we mentioned we're going live to New York, and she was saying, oh, Peter Franklin. So I did say I would introduce you electronically as well as orally via the medium of radio, to so I'm sure Sarah can speak to yourself. I'm sure you can chat about how you can combine this thing which she's doing, which deals with cheese competitions and disability, particularly visually impaired. So,
sure, but is she coming over? I lost you there for a minute. You know, with that heavy British accent.
I don't quite know what Sarah Gayton is doing, other than she's a bit of a force for nature, and she is very excited about knowing that you're in New York City. So,
okay. Yeah. Right. I thought you were saying she was coming over here, and that's what had me a little bit confused. Hopefully she will come over here, but in any event, I'm here.
Exactly. It's quality stuff from that point of view. Kayleigh Carr, have you ever been to New York City?
I haven't, no. I'd love to go, though. It's one of them places I really want to go.
The tour guide is par excellence is indeed Peter Franklin, as we frequently said, Gabby.com. Go to you, please.
Well, thank you very much for that.
It's important that the branding is sorted through. So, donuts and New York City police officers, surely those two things don't go together, do they?
What was it again? I think maybe we have a bad connection here, but try again.
Donuts and New York City police officers?
Donuts. Well, that's an old gag. That's a cartoon gag. That's, you know, that's sort of like you got the big fat cops who were sitting around in the squad car just having donuts and coffee, out of physical shape, couldn't chase anybody, and while they're doing that, crime is running through the streets. Nothing could be further than the truth. As a matter of fact, New York City Police Department is the largest police department in the world, certainly the most high-tech, and frankly the most experienced in dealing with people because of the fact that, you know, the number of people, the diversity of people, I mean, you know, even London is a distant second when it comes to the number of people. We have 170 languages that are spoken in New York City. So that gives you an idea of the burden on the police officer who would like to arrest you.
Looking again at some of the interesting stories that you have brought to us, the other thing that sprung to my mind, given that we've had a canine theme to the show today with Yorkshire Terriers and various other things, is the tale of the Shih Tzu.
Yeah, well, what happened is that these people went on the subway with the dog in their arms, which is a big no-no for a lot of reasons. If you are going to take a pet, and we're not talking about a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd, it should be in, you know, one of those carry things. Well, what they did is they broke the law, which, you know, is a problem, and the policeman told them to get out of the subway. Well, then they broke an even higher law by giving the cop a hard time. And that's a bad idea. My philosophy is, when you're dealing with a law enforcement person, you do exactly what he wants you to do. If he's done something wrong or rude, then you get him later when you're home or in your lawyer's office. You know, but you don't do it on the spot because that gets cops crazy. Well, they did. So to retaliate, he took them back to the station house and had them put through a strip search, which is something you do with drug dealers and bank robbers and things like that. You don't normally do it for something as minor as having a pet on the subway. But he did it really to be mean, and I guess there was no supervisor around. I don't mean he did the strip search. I mean, he had a lady cop do the lady and a man cop do the man, you know, who specialized in that kind of thing. But it was obviously to harass them and get even for giving him a hard time. Well, now it's been blown out of proportions because it's a big deal. The couple is going to sue the city because they think they were terribly embarrassed and this, that, and the other thing. Well, the real truth of the matter is that their behavior was absurd, and the cop's behavior was stupid, but that's how things escalate, and I wouldn't be surprised if the city decides to give them a few bucks. Now, for any of your listeners who are thinking of coming over here, I wouldn't try it as a means to making some money, though. You know, don't give a cop a hard time. just take down his badge number, try to have his name, and then later, then you get even.
Spoken sage words there. Peter, as ever, you have the global pulse, and your finger is always on it. The Bradley Manning, or should we say Chelsea Manning, issue and various other things. As an ex-service officer yourself, do you think 35 years it's too short a time for himself? Do you think whistleblowing is inherently sort of anti-democratic? What, which could be an interesting debate in itself. What are your views on the sort of results?
Alex, it's a very complex thing, and the reason for this is that when he went in to his job, he signs an agreement. It's like if, you know, I'm waiting for MI6 to call me up. They haven't called me. I hope if there's somebody from MI6, you know, listening, they will call me, because I would be a
Good afternoon to our MI6 people who are listening to this transatlantic telephone call.
Right. So if I take the job, though, I'm signing a deal to keep my big mouth shut. I'm not supposed to then tell everything to everybody. If you're doing something bad, your chain of command, well, then you talk to your section boss, who hopefully will talk to the next higher boss. But you don't go public with that stuff, because you may be revealing certain information. So the guy was nuts. I mean, even if his intention was good, he went around it in the worst possible way. However, the other side of the coin, which makes it so complicated, is that he showed in his very misguided way what kind of rats, that's R-A-T-S, are running my government. Now I probably won't get hired by the CIA either. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that they've been doing bad things that they shouldn't do, and the dopes on your side of the pond complicated it by they going into, I think it was the Telegraph's office, I may be wrong, I don't know which office they went to, and destroying
the Guardian.
Some of the information.
It was the Guardian.
Publication. Yeah. What was it, the Guardian?
The Guardian, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so in other words, I would say to the head, who's the head, see, I'm losing my opportunity to work to MI6, but I would say to him, what are you, cracked? I mean, you know, he did something bad, now you turn around and do something which is even worse. They had no business going to the Guardian. I mean, that's supposed to be freedom of the press. So it's such a complicated problem. And now, as some of you listeners might know, all of a sudden this guy announces he wants a sex change. Now, where did that come from? And the Army, instead of ignoring him and saying, well, you're a fruitcake and you're going off to jail for 35 years, they quickly announced that they're not going to give him a sex change. Well, they were no under any obligation to comment on it, nor were they any obligation to say no, which something in theory he might be able to get in prison, because, you know, the laws are very convoluted with that. So I guess the short answer is that this story on almost every level has an idiot involved in it. That's all I have to tell you. I mean, it's just an unbelievable mess.
Let's find out from our young journalist in the studio, of course, who's going to a third year of journalism at the University of Teesside, Kaylee Carr. Kaylee, your thoughts on this?
I don't know, I think it's a bit strange.
A little bit strange.
Yeah, I don't really know how to elaborate.
This is cutting edge. Whilst we're giving you time to ruminate a bit more on that, let's talk about this Maserati which went AWOL from the Tribeca part of New York.
The what?
The Maserati?
You know, Alex, I don't want to... Your segues are usually masterful.
Right.
But today's segues are leaving me with my head being scratched.
Oh,
so I'm certainly not going to correct the master, but would you make them a little bit more...
Okay,
now, having publicly chastised you, not only will I never hear from MI6, I'll never hear from you again.
No.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Right.
You're talking about a guy has a Maserati parked in the garage.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think if I won the lotto for $140 million, I'd go out and buy a million-dollar car. I mean, I think you got to be just missing a screw. But he did. Okay, fine. So he goes off to wherever he goes. A little bit later in the day, somebody shows up at the garage and says to the garage attendant, I'm here to take the Maserati in for some repairs. So they said, oh, okay, here's the keys, take it for repairs. Well, he wasn't there taking it in for repairs, he was there to steal it. And I mean, you know, crime is not something I would propose or suggest to people, But you've got to admit, that was pretty cool, nerves of steel, to be able to just walk in and say, you know, I'm here to pick it up and pull it off. Well, he did, but, of course, as what happens to most criminals, including, an Oliver Twist boss, you get captured and he'll go to jail and he won't have any Maseratis. And this is not recommended to your listeners. Mm. I wouldn't go into your local Jaguar dealer or what have you and see if you can, take a car with you.
As ever, it's nice that we put that disclaimer on there. And something we don't normally talk about, Peter, but I think it's worthwhile mentioning the celebrity sighting. A certain Cameron Diaz has been seen in New York.
Yes, and now you have to understand something. I watched her playing volleyball, and she was jumping up and down.
It's like a Charlie's Angels moment, isn't it, really? Yes.
And up and down. What can I say? The important thing is that my wife should never hear this particular broadcast with you, because most probably I spent too much time watching her jump up and down. Now, if I've offended anybody, too bad, because that's what boys do, okay? We like looking at girls. And if you can't understand that, go discuss it with your mother.
There we are. Okay, Kaylee.
Okay.
Exactly. Any thoughts, questions, or comments you'd like to raise? Because we talk about citizen journalism quite a lot, and we have done over the years with Peter, and one of these days we'll get him taking part in an ethical debate with the whole variety of things about the whole essence of citizen journalism. As we frequently said, British Broadcasting Corporation, heaps of New York correspondents, they just need one, they just need Peter. There we are. Anyway, thoughts from yourself?
I don't know. Just to raise the point about the car, the $1 million, whatever it's called, car, being stolen.
130,000.
That is shocking. I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm. That's obviously touched a nerve, Peter.
I know.
They get the lines, truth is stranger than fiction. And sometimes people say to me, Peter, are you making up these stories? And I say to myself, I don't have to make up any story. When you live in New York City, and other places, of course, but especially when you live in New York City, there is nothing you have to make up. There isn't a day that goes by. I tell you very quickly, the other day, some people got onto the subway train, and in the train was a dead shark. Nobody has the slightest idea where it came from.
Did it have a ticket?
How it got there, what it was doing there. So, of course, they had to take it and do whatever you do with a dead shark, and nobody knows the purpose of it. But I can guarantee you, of the 80 or 90 people that would have been in the subway car, maybe three people would have looked at it. The rest of the people would have said, oh, well, that's New York, and there it is.
So, was it a great white shark? Was it a basking shark?
No, a little fellow. We only get, that's Australia, people.
Right.
We only get the smaller sharks, which can still take a big bite out of you. Because remember, if you look at a map of New York City, we are sitting in the ocean. So when it says Hudson River, East River, Harlem River, they're not rivers, they're estuaries. So it's not really that unusual for us to get a small shark, or even from time to time, which really gets everybody crazy, a whale come into one of our rivers, which are not rivers.
But as yet, a whale hasn't appeared on a New York subway train.
Yeah, well, but we do have the shark, so there you are.
Peter, this could be a whole new exploration we can actually go on for another time. But for the moment, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link at last, after two or three slightly stymied attempts to actually connect with your good self in previous
Absolutely
weeks?
Absolutely, positively. See, my psychiatrist says, when I'm feeling crazy, I should talk to you for a few minutes, better than taking a tranquilizer, because it calms my nerves down that you let me shout and rage.
So I take it then you'll return in the very near future?
Yeah, absolutely. My mental situation requires it.
Hey!